Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Peter Stern, a senior reporter at the Freedom of the Press Foundation. He runs the U.S. Press Freedom Tracker, a website that aims to comprehensively track all press freedom incidents, including arrests of journalists, equipment seizures, border stops, and subpoenas of news organizations in the United States. Welcome to Background Briefing, Peter Stern.
Thank you for having me.
And Peter, from your position, I imagine you have to be disturbed by the withering attacks on the press from President Trump. And they've been going on for some time. Back on July the 20th, he met with the publisher of the New York Times, A.G. Sulzberger. Sulzberger pressed Trump on what he said was deeply troubling anti-press rhetoric, saying that this inflammatory language is contributing to the rise of threats against journalists and will lead to violence. Of course, Trump completely mischaracterized that meeting by tweeting out that he had a good meeting where they discussed the vast amounts of fake news being put out by the media. Sulzberger then had to go public with what really was said. And then, of course, last Tuesday, there was a rally in Florida where Trump attacked the press. And then he escalated his attacks on Thursday of last week at a rally in Pennsylvania, where he really, if you look at the pictures, he turns to the press. And he really is deeply angry and full of spite and hate. He just says these are disgusting people. So it couldn't be more obvious and more blatant and, I think, more dangerous. Jim Acosta was screamed at. So from my point of view, I think it's just a matter of time before a journalist is either assaulted, injured, or something worse.
Yeah, I mean, what was really striking about that meeting that he had with Sulzberger is that Trump later said that, you know, he was talking with Sulzberger and he was talking about how great it was that all these other countries are now cracking down on fake news. And obviously, what a lot of other countries are doing is they're now outlawing fake news, but just like Trump, they're not actually concerned about the accuracy of the news. They are just cracking down on news and on media that is critical of them. So you see this in Turkey, you see this in Egypt, you see this in Malaysia. And what's very concerning is that now we have a president who sees any news coverage of him that is not favorable as being fake and as being not only untrue but potentially damaging to the country. You know, he says that journalists are the enemy of the American people. He says that journalists are trying to sell out the country, that they don't have the United States' best interests at heart. And I think that is very concerning rhetoric. Obviously, there's always been an adversarial relationship between journalists who cover the president of the United States and the president. You know, naturally, journalists try to report things that people in power don't want found out. And presidents have always reacted negatively toward that. But I think what you see with Trump is something worse, where he is actually telling his supporters, and a lot of people believe him, that journalists are not just reporting things that he doesn't like or even that are exaggerated, but he's saying that journalists are making up sources and they're fabricating news stories with the aim of bringing him down and ending his presidency and hurting his supporters. So he's really trying to portray journalists not just as people who occasionally get things wrong or even sensationalist, but as active agents of evil who are trying to undermine the United States. And that's very concerning because I think that that's the kind of language that leads people to take physical action against members of the press. You know, if you're a Trump supporter and you believe that journalists are not just doing their jobs and trying to inform people, but are instead making things up because they don't like you and they want you to lose, then you are not going to have any respect for them. And in fact, you're probably going to see them as someone who is potentially dangerous to you and someone you might need to fight back against physically. So I think that is really the concern that we see. And, you know, you might think that the United States is a relatively safe place for journalists, and that's certainly true compared to a lot of countries. You know, it's not as bad as Mexico, where you have dozens of journalists being murdered each year. But journalists in the United States do get physically assaulted. It's usually when they're going and covering protests where people can sometimes get violent and shove journalists or try to steal their cameras or notebooks, or sometimes, you know, they get caught in pepper spray and tear gas when the police are trying to disperse protests, or police arrest them or shoot, you know, rubber bullets at them. And of course, in addition to that, there are also relatively rare, but a few incidents in which people attack journalists because they are unhappy specifically with their coverage. Like, that's what happened in Annapolis, Maryland, where you had the mass shooting of journalists by someone who was unhappy that the newspaper had reported on him. And we haven't seen any serious attacks on journalists yet as a direct result of Trump's rhetoric. But I think that the danger of Trump's rhetoric is that he's getting people to believe that the media can't be trusted, that the media is against them. And that makes it much easier for his supporters to justify violence against the media. Whereas before, they might have just dismissed it or said, oh, I don't believe that, whatever. Now they see journalists as enemies of the United States and as enemies of American values, and potentially would resort to violence against them.
And again, I'm speaking with Peter Stern, who's a senior reporter at the Freedom of the Press Foundation. He runs the U.S. Press Freedom Tracker, a website that aims to comprehensively track all press freedom incidents, including arrests of journalists, equipment seizures, border stops, and subpoenas of news organizations in the United States. And in my sort of opening litany of Trump's attacks on the press, I forgot to mention that at a veterans convention on July the 24th, Trump referred to the press as being very unpatriotic and turned to the veterans who are normally supposed to be apolitical, saying, don't believe the crap you see from these people, the fake news, pointing at the reporters again. What you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening. And then just to finish up on what you just said, Peter, the conservative columnist in the New York Times, Brett Stevens, had a piece, I think, yesterday or Saturday, where he said at the end of the article, there will soon be blood on the floor of a newsroom, and that will be blood on the president's hands. So the warnings are out there, but there doesn't seem any indication that President Trump's going to slow down or ease up on his withering attacks on the press. If anything, they will increase as we head into a more intense political season. That, at least, is my assumption.
Yeah, I think that's probably correct. I mean, obviously, you know, Sulzberger, after meeting with Trump, did say that, you know, Trump seemed to get it, or at least say that, oh, you know, I feel bad that my rhetoric is potentially justifying violence and attacks on the press in other countries. And I think that, you know, he would also say that he doesn't want journalists in the United States to be killed. But I think that he just doesn't care, especially when he's at a rally or he's on Twitter. He's primarily motivated by kind of a personal animus towards journalists who report things that he doesn't like. He will just call them fake news and say that they're disloyal, not necessarily because he believes that they are actually enemies of the American people who, you know, you can use violence against, but just because he gets so angry when he reads reporting that is negative toward him, that he just... that's sort of his automatic response, is to delegitimize the press and to say that they can't be trusted. And he doesn't care if that inflames people and potentially leads to violence against the press. I don't think he necessarily wants journalists to be killed, but I don't think he cares enough about it to not try to attack them on Twitter.
So what can the press do, particularly the White House press corps? Because Jim Acosta, who was attacked and hissed and screamed and spat at the rally last Tuesday in Florida, where there were a lot of these people from this new far-right group that's emerged called QAnon, and they were all over that rally. And they're right out there on the fringes of right-wing lunacy. So they're quite inherently dangerous people. Acosta asked Sarah Sanders, the White House press spokesperson, about Ivanka Trump's comments that the press, she, in her opinion, the press are not the enemy of the people. And she was refused to agree with that. And so 4 times in 2 days, in fact, Sanders refused to say that the media is not the enemy of the people. So would it make sense for the White House press corps to simply boycott the White House? I know that Fox and Sinclair would not do that, but at what point does the press basically say enough already?
I mean, I don't think it would necessarily be helpful to, you know, refuse to cover Trump. On the one hand, he does obviously appreciate media coverage, but, you know, he also is still the president and has a lot of power. And I don't think it would be better if he did things and no one knew about them. So I think there is a reason to continue going to, you know, White House press briefings and to still cover Trump. I mean, maybe don't cover his rallies live. I'm not sure that really informs the American people. But in general, I think it's important to cover the White House and the presidency. I would say don't let him go off the record. You know, I don't think the press owes him that level of respect to allow him to, you know, go off the record and say what he's really thinking, but then they can't print it. That is an understandable arrangement, maybe, when you have a president who respects the press and who actually cares about what they're trying to do. But with Trump, it's so clear that he disdains the press and that he doesn't care about their reporting and will just seek to discredit it, even if it's true. I see no reason to allow him to say anything off the record. I think that the press should continue to be aggressive in covering what he does. I don't know if that will prevent people from attacking them. I think that there's a section of the country that will just attack the press no matter what. But I do think that there's no reason to accord Trump any respect just because he's the president if he's going to go around and suggest that journalists are enemies of the American people.
Well, I think the latest tally now on Trump's lies since he became president by the Washington Post, it's up to over 4,200. And you have to add to a couple of howlers that came out of Saturday's rally in Ohio, where the president said that Dianne Feinstein was actually running the Mueller investigation, not Mueller. And then he attacked Dianne Feinstein and ridiculed her for having a Chinese spy as a driver, when in fact the true story is that the FBI did inform Senator Feinstein that they thought her driver, who had no access to classified material or even sensitive material, the minute that she found out, Senator Feinstein fired the driver. So again, this is what happens on a daily basis. So is there any way for, again, without sort of abandoning their jobs, can they basically demand some basic honesty instead of being essentially insulted by a blizzard of lies?
I mean, I think they can certainly demand honesty. I don't think they're going to get it from Trump. I don't know if other people in the White House, like you know, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, will give it to them. I would hope so, but I definitely don't think they're going to get it from Trump. And I think that they need to treat Trump as kind of a hostile subject, which is to say that whenever they quote him, whenever they refer to something that he says, they need to immediately contextualize it with the truth. You know, in past administrations, it's generally been seen as acceptable to just attribute something to the president or the White House. And if there's no evidence that it's false, you know, you don't really need to independently fact check it, because generally speaking, the federal government and the White House was seen as a reliable, trustworthy source. And obviously, there are instances in which the press deferred too much to the White House. You know, you look at what happened in 2003 with the lead-up to the Iraq War. But in general, I think the press has deferred to what the White House says. And I think it's very clear now that that cannot continue. Anytime you quote Trump, anytime you mention what he says in the headline of an article, you need to say if he's lying and say what the truth is. Like, obviously, you need to report on what Trump says and thinks because he has a lot of power. But you want to make sure that, at least for your readers, the people who still trust what journalists report, still trust that they are trying to report the truth, that you are not hoping to spread the president's lies. So when you quote Trump, you also say, this is the truth. This is what Trump says. And I think Trump would see that as an attack on him, but it's not an attack on him if you're just reporting the truth. Something is not fake news just because the president disagrees with it.
So what do you make of this strange attack on this very, very popular basketball player, LeBron James? And it happened, Trump attacked and actually ridiculed both the CNN interviewer Don Lemon and LeBron James in, I think, unmistakably racist terms, basically saying they were dumb and not very bright. And he said the same thing of Maxine Waters, the Democratic congresswoman out here in California. And that's unquestionably an old racist canard that he's reviving. But then his wife comes out and says the opposite, in effect, and wanted to visit the school that LeBron James is funding and has created. And he's obviously doing some really good work. In fact, Don Lemon tweeted back saying, who is the dummy, the man who educates children or the one who puts children in cages? So is that – do you think there's a good cop, bad cop routine going on there? And to some extent it may be going on with Ivanka as well. Or do you think – there is genuine differences there where the wife was apparently appalled by what he said, and that also Ivanka, as I mentioned earlier, made it clear that she didn't believe that the press were the enemy of the people.
I mean, it's not clear, obviously, what their motivations are, whether they genuinely believe, you know, that the press are not the enemy of the American people, or you know, whether they respect what LeBron is doing. I imagine that Melania and Ivanka probably do believe what they said, just because it's not really controversial to say that it's good that someone is creating a new public school, or that journalists are not the enemy of the American people. That's sort of the obvious position. So I don't know whether they are sort of trying to compensate for what Trump said, or if they're just trying to, you know, express that they have a different opinion. But I also don't really think it matters. I mean, Trump is the president, and if they, especially in the case of Ivanka, you know, if she truly believes that the press are not the enemy of the American people, then she should intervene and get her father to stop saying that. And if she doesn't do that, then it doesn't really matter whether or not she believes it, if she's not going to do anything about it. You know, Trump attacks anyone who criticizes him. I think he especially is upset or offended when people he sees as lesser than him criticize him. And I think that he takes particular offense when, you know, African Americans criticize him because he is racist, or at least he has those racist beliefs and interpretations. So I'm not surprised that he would attack, you know, LeBron or Don Lemon or Maxine Waters. You know, he also attacks a lot of Latino journalists and activists, and he attacks white journalists as well, just not in such stark terms. Trump just, you know, he has a group of people that he dislikes because they don't like him and because his policies hurt them. And any time that they criticize him, he just immediately fights back. I mean, it's clear to me that Trump isn't committed to values like equality or freedom of speech and press. Not that he necessarily wants to get rid of those things, but he just doesn't care. For him, the concern seems to be whether or not people are talking favorably about him. And if they're not, then he's going to go after them and seek to delegitimize them and suggest that they are lying or that they're dumb.
Well, Peter Stern, I thank you very much for joining us here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with Peter Stern, who's a senior reporter at the Freedom of the Press Foundation. He runs the U.S. Press Freedom Tracker, a website that aims to comprehensively track all press freedom incidents, including arrests of journalists, equipment seizures, border stops, and subpoenas of news organizations in the United States. We're going to take a brief station break and back looking into how Jared Kushner was just rewarded with a cash infusion from the Qataris for 666 Fifth Avenue, a building he overpaid for when he was courting Ivanka.